Blog Talk Radio.
TKD Global, amen, broadcast and radio. You are tuned in to Monday Night Relationship Monday, and we're going to get this show started in about 2 seconds. Go ahead and get your snap on with Al Green, and I'll be right back. God. So, you know, this is Monday night, our Relationship Monday, and so we just want to make sure that you guys are, you know, in the right zone, in the right mood, glory to God, because anything is liable to be said tonight. But no guest of mine would be disrespected or mishandled, glory to God, on TKD Global Broadcast and Radio. I'm excited about tonight because I have a special guest on for you guys tonight. I'm telling you, man, I go and get the best for you guys. Why? Because you big sis, I just love you like that. Oh, and I don't believe in nothing but the best. And so this young man that's going to come on tonight, he's a pastor. Amen. He's actually a friend of mine. I follow him on his social sites. Glory to God. He's written 4 books. Wow. Amen. He is known, really abroad for his platform called Real Talk. You know, I call him the relationship expert. You know, he gives it to you up in your face, and he gives it to you straight. Glory to God. And God have been using him just so abroad when it comes to relationship. He has workshops, and he's going to talk a little bit with us tonight about courtship versus dating. I am so excited to hear about him. And after tonight, after the broadcast, I want you guys to go on Facebook and Google his name and support this brother, because he's also a Christian life and a relationship coach. And you guys know there's not many of us out there. Glory to God. And I thank God for using me as a counselor and relationship coach as well. But it's good to have, amen, males as well, positive males who's doing this, glory to God. I mean, and then just start doing this like last year. You know, so I've talking with this great man of God. He's down to earth, very intelligent brother, and I'm telling you, God is truly doing some great things in his life. So I introduce some of you and present to the rest of you who may not know who he is, a very good friend of mine, pastor and author Ricky E. Macklin. Glory to God, brother. It is so great to have you on. Go ahead and say something to the Gloria audience.
Hey, woman of God, I am excited to be on here too and to talk about these most needed subjects, especially
yes.
this relationship thing. Also wanted to mention that I actually have 6 books that are out, working on the 7th one. So
wow.
we're busy
okay.
on my end.
Yes. You know what? So before we get into it, go ahead and name the books that you do got out, because I didn't want to misquote them. I was looking on your media, and I mean, you are busy.
Yeah, the started years ago. My first book that I wrote was back in 2001, actually. And that one's God's Whole Armor. So it really deals with preparing you for warfare. So it kind of exposes the enemy, what's on his mind, when will he attack, where is he located, why is it that he so desperately wanted to kill you as a believer. So I deal with a bunch of things there, battlefield of the mind, then I deal with each part of the armor, what it stood for during the Roman days, how it's applicable to you as a child of God, and how to use the sword of the Spirit. So that was the first one. And then I did one, I think one of my favorites is Daddy's Waiting on You. And it's just a book on divine intimacy, how to have an intimate relationship with God, how to move from babyhood through adolescence to maturity in your relationship with him. So the book on divine intimacy. And that was actually one of my favorites. I always call all of them my favorites, but I believe that one is, because that's simply all about God. And you heard me talk about Real Talk. That's another one, Real Talk, Relationship Tips. And I just kind of keep it real in that book. I have several chapters in there where I deal specifically with certain subjects. In the relationship arena, just keeping it real. And another one is Anointed But Not Ready. And that book deals with the process of being called to becoming. And I always say David's first step after he was anointed king, he was about 14, 15 years old. He didn't become king until he was about 30. And so David's first thing that he did is the first chapter of the book, which is entitled Humility, because the very first thing David did after being anointed was he went back. And so that's one of my favorites as well. And last two books, one of them is called 6 Points to Optimizing Your Life. And that book just with how do you become the best you, the one that God created you to become. And then the last one is The Chivalry Project. And that one's a book I call a project because I want people to take that book, men to take that book, mothers with single mothers with sons to take that book, and begin to just practice those principles. There's about 6 or 7 chivalric principles and about 60 chivalrous acts. So you would take each one and begin to apply them to your life. Amen.
Amen. Wow, Pastor, you have just really been doing the work of the kingdom, and I'm listening to you talking about the different books. I mean, you are crossing all genres of Christendom, and I love that, from the intimacy with the Lord, you know, dealing with the relationship, you know, growing in the body of Christ and in our position. I mean, you are dealing with, I mean, the Lord is really dealing with you with so many parts for the body of Christ. Wow, glory to God. Glory to God. That is amazing. So I encourage every listener, I hope you wrote those books down and the one that's coming, glory to God, because we need to support when things like that are going on in the kingdom, you know, because this comes from revelation the Lord has given you and experience and things of that nature. And I, for one, I value things like that.
Amen.
I value
Amen. Well,
like
no, I definitely have a call for the body. You know, I love the body.
Amen. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Well, we're gonna jump right into this. We got I see the lines, the numbers are still coming down the stream. So that's really good. I'm grateful for my audience. I do not take you guys for granted. You know, I've had to Google some of your area codes, and I'm grateful. I'm in the USA. You guys are supporting TKD Global Radio and Broadcasting, and then I don't take your time lightly. So I want to thank you in advance. So, author Pastor Ricky Macklin, we're going to get into, because you teach on something called courtship and dating, as well as Real Talk. I mean, because you've been doing this for so long and well, I'm not even sure where to start. But I would like to hear a little bit about that dating versus courtship, because I want you to make that plain to my viewers what exactly you mean by that.
Oh, cool. All right. That's good. And it's a subject that a lot of people kind of just all throw them all into one basket and say, hey, they mean basically the same thing. But the reality is, even if you looked up the terms in a Webster's dictionary, you'll walk away with different meanings. For say, if you think about dating really means an appointment to meet at a specific time, a social engagement between two persons, often having a romantic content. Dating is described as uncommitted behavior or free activity or status relationship that could potentially become serious. And so, as you look at that, to be totally honest with you, the problem I have with dating is that it's destructive in its nature. And when I say that, what I mean is that it conditions you more for divorce than for marriage. And the reason why is because it teaches you to break off relationship as opposed to maintaining covenant. And so it kind of puts you or heads you in the wrong direction. As opposed to courtship, when you think about courting, I know it's an old-fashioned term, but it's a wonderful term once you understand the crux of it. And courtship really means, courting really means to seek to gain or to win a pledge, a marriage from. So it's intent. The difference in the two is one's intent already points to marriage, which is to come, as opposed to dating. People date for multiple reasons, to get out of the house, to quill one's loneliness, sex partners, you know, all kind of things, all kind of reasons. Mm-hmm. And none of them have to have a serious message to them. Also, what I don't like about dating is that it offers no real security in an area that is so critical. So courtship's intent is, look, the only reason why I'm showing up right now, look, I'm not saying I'm marrying you tomorrow or in 6 months or what have you, but the only reason why I'm here is because I believe that you are the one for me to marry. And like I said, it doesn't have to happen in 6 months. So that is established at the very beginning. Now, guess what? Let's go ahead and build a friendship. Let's work on this relationship, and let's work it through. No rush. You know, we'll take our time. Let's be patient. But the intent has already been established from the very beginning.
So you're saying the intent of courting is for marriage, and dating less more sets you up for a marriage that's probably going to fail because of all the reasons, which I do agree, that you just gave doing that.
Absolutely.
Meaning, you know, because, you know, you have the unlicensed sex, you have all these expectations that's not realistic, and oh my God, I was trying to write while you was talking. What if someone was dating, especially in this time and age? They are dating, but they're saying, "Yeah, we're going to date," you know, and then what does this mean? And we'll just see where this goes. What does that statement mean when it comes to dating?
Wow, that bothers me. Even when I hear that, you should see me squinching over here, you know, because. The problem I have with it is that it offers no security. So you have someone, you're dating, and you want to see where it goes. What happens in 3 months when the person has invested their emotions and their attention into you, and then all of a sudden on month number four or month number five, you decide, okay, I'm not feeling this anymore. And the problem I have with it is that you should never commit your emotions to something where there is not a commitment in place in the first place. And so, you know, you leave yourself vulnerable, you know, without protection. And that's the biggest problem I have with that. If you don't mind, if I can just kind of mention this, back in the day when courting was used, the term itself, things were done a little differently. You know, there was a protection won by the father who would protect his daughter. So if a gentleman was interested in her, he wasn't coming to date her. Actually, let's look at this from a scripture point of view. The Bible doesn't say he that find a girlfriend or find a boo-boo or find a, you know, a jump-off or what have you, but whoever find a wife find it a good thing. So the concept of dating itself is not even found in the text, found in scripture. Now, if you want to do your own thing, that's you. So I think the problem I have with dating is that you're not led, that there's nothing that you're being spiritually led by. It's just typically by your five senses, about your flesh or what have you. And then, like I said, later on, you determine after 5-6 months, oh, I'm not feeling this anymore. Okay, now what happens to her or what happens to him and his emotions and his feelings? And so that's when I cringe, when I hear that, that's the reason why I cringe. Because it offers no real protection.
Right. Wow.
But, you know, as I was saying, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But as I was saying, back in the day, the father would protect his daughter. When a dude was interested, he'd have to come through dad first. And Dad mm-hmm. was to question him. I had all kind of questions, you know, what's on your mind? You know, why my daughter? Why are you interested in her? Or who are your people? Where are you from? You know, what's your intent? So when you have that kind of covering and that kind of protection, then any kind of Joe Blow couldn't come in there and hurt her or use her or abuse her, if you will. So there was protection.
Right.
There's protection in courtship where there's today, these days and time, I understand the concept is a little foreign to a lot of people. But and I do believe, personally speaking, honestly, that some people call it dating, but in reality they are courting. Like a person is saying to someone that they do plan to marry and their heart is there, they're devoted, they're loyal to the relationship, and they've even established the fact that that's what they want to do. So, you know, in some sense, some people use the term interchangeably. So I just like to say, okay, yeah, I know you call it dating, but really you're courting her.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Let me ask you this. Wow, that's, I don't think I've heard someone say that, like, in, I don't think I've ever heard anybody explain it like that, just to be completely open and honest, you know, with the difference between courtship and dating. So, and some of the questions I'm going to ask you, author and pastor, because the women that's on the line, and I know they're going to want to ask these questions, and I just want to kind of get this out there, because when you just explain the difference between dating and courtship, you also just explain how a woman can become a jump off. She can become the
Absolutely.
Side chick. You know, she can become used, because in this time, I mean, we see it. People don't really take their time dating. You know, they're usually in the bed because they feel the chemistry. Now less than 24 hours. You know, and women think, okay, I can do what I need to do and get my rocks off. I mean, that's the words they use, and I'm a counselor, so I've heard it all. You know, and just call a done deal and be done with it. And sometimes most times that is not true, and they really do have feelings. They really do, you know, have some kind of attachment to this male and things of that nature, and they're not sure what to do with that because they do want to be loved. They do want to be respected. So what do you say to the women who saying, look, I done read a Steve Harvey book and Wait 90 Days and all that stuff, you know, but it seems not to be working for me, you know, and all he wants to do is have sex and things like that. I know what I would say to her, but you are a man. What would you say to a woman like that?
And see, the first thing I would say is define who you are or get an understanding of who you are. Set some standards. I always tell people in the sessions that I teach, I say pull out a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. And on one side, I want you to put your non-negotiables, you know, your deal breakers. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, go ahead and put your personal preferences. And personal mm-hmm. preferences, that list could be very long, to be honest with you. But on the other side, short list, maybe 3-5 things at the most. But those 5 things are non-compromisable things. And once you put those in place, those are your convictions. Those things are the core of who you are. And because that's the core of who you are, they drive your decisions that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And the choices, you know, the people that you would choose or allow in or not allow in, let me put it that way. And until a person establishes that, until a person know who they are in Christ, until a person understand their worth, then they'll compromise every time. And anytime you compromise something, you're going to lose something down the road. In regards to, you know, no pun intended on Steve Harvey, but, you know, we're not talking 90 days. We're talking about abstinence. We're talking about waiting until you're married.
Right.
And,
right.
You know,
I'm people, with you on that.
And you know, but for a woman, she has to have that standard in place that no matter what, and whenever you have to compromise your conviction, whenever you have to compromise your faith to be with someone, it ain't God. And that's just the bottom line. You know, as much as you may want it, as much as you may be appeased by it, as much as all of these things may be going on. See, and another point that I always mention, too, is that whenever you have sex outside of marriage, that makes you a thief. Somebody said, well, how am I a thief? She gave it to me or he gave it to me. It's because you're taking something that does not belong to you. You ain't paid for it. You ain't made no covenant and what have it. And even if the person gave it to you, guess what? That just makes them a culprit to it. They just as guilty as you are. So,
yes.
So when you understand who you are, whose you are, when you develop your core standards and your core belief, and the reason why I mentioned about the non-negotiables, if you ever compromise a non-negotiable, it's not a non-negotiable. So whenever you draw that line down there and you put these 3-5 things, what you are essentially saying is if everything else exists here with this guy and this one thing is missing, there will not be a relationship. It will not proceed. And so I think what has to happen is a person has to understand their worth. They got to spend some time with God. They got to know who they are. And I think it's finding that, striking that balance between I know what I want, I believe what God wants for me, because there's really nothing wrong with wanting to be married and wanting to be in a relationship. God made us a relational people, right? So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's understanding what do I do in the interim until it happens? How do I not lose faith? How do I trust God? I mean, and then you start thinking about your life. What else in your life has God done? What else have you been waiting on? Because at some point, you're going to need some present confidence based upon some past experience. And if God did it for you in one area, surely he's able to do it in another. Because, you know, the Bible's clear that, you know, he's not trying to withhold anything from you. Surely it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And one thing that I also quoted today that I think is pretty cool is that when you get ready to hook up with someone and you want to marry that particular individual, then you have to ask yourself the question, is this person that I'm about to engage in this relationship with, can I bring God greater glory through this relationship, you know, as opposed to being apart from them? Because whenever God brings two people together, he doesn't just simply bring two people. He brings two purposes to form the one. Everything else are fringe benefits. We enjoy the amenities of the relationship.
Pastor, but you got to say that again. You got to say that again. When God brings people, say that again.
Well, let me say it one more time and again. When God brings two people together, he's not merely bringing two people. He's bringing two purposes to form the one. There is something that God wants done that when the two come together, they're going to be able to accomplish what one could not do in and of themselves. And so when God brings you together, it's about his program. It's about his agenda. And we enjoy the fringe benefits or the amenities, all the other wonderful things that comes with the relationship. So, you know, primarily it's focus. And the other thing is just being patient, because, you know, when people are not patient, then that's when we make mistakes. Yeah, and there are consequences to every decision that we make.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, so we got to just, let's just fellowship around that, because this is where we are losing people, Pastor. This is where we are losing people, because they see the girl, oh, my God, she looks like a dime piece, whatever that means. And, you know, they see the guy and, you know, he looks like or built like or whatever it is that draws you. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying completely outer appearance has nothing to do with being with a person. I'll be lying if I said that, because when I saw my husband, you know, I was like, good Lord, thank you. You know, so, you know.
All right, and the church said
it. But it had a small thing to do with it, but having a conversation with him, you know, like, ooh, okay, and he's smart. He can articulate, you know, but then go beyond that, I realized, I mean, we were just teens, but even at 18, you know, the brother had vision, and that was more attractive to me at a very young age more than his body. So when you just said that, because that's why we have, and I'm not trying to, I'm not messing with anybody who's online, but this is why we have so many divorces, because we married people, and excuse my language, because the booty was good. And it's like you just said, the booty shouldn't even been in play just yet, because you don't even know this person. You don't even know this person. So people say, I love you, and you've been intimate. That's the sex talking. You don't even know this person, you know.
Absolutely.
And things of that nature. And so when you said that, you do have to really hear from the Lord. And I think that's when you were talking about the difference between dating and courtship, why courtship is so imperative and why we need it in this day and time. Because when you marry someone, you marry them and their assignment. And learning what the Lord has called them to do takes time to do that, because you've been trying to marry somebody the Lord have called to be, you know, T.D. Jakes or, you know, a Rob Parsley or, you know, a Ricky Macklin. You know, the reality is, you got to know the message and the weight that comes with this person. And so we marry people and feel like, well, you know, they became a singer and left me out, or they got in ministry and left me out. No, you didn't take time to realize not only who you married, but what you join yourself to.
Hey, man, you're on point with that. Can I give your audience what I give in my session, seven steps to discern the Lord's will in selecting your mate? Can I give them that?
Please do. Go ahead. Please do.
All right. So if they got a pen, if they have a pen or on the iPads or Mac, All right. So the first one is test of the Lord's conviction. And so that's number one, test of the Lord's conviction. In other words, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? You know, have you prayed about him or her? or is this just an act of the flesh where you're jumping out because you're lonely or because you want it? So number one would be test of the Lord's conviction, because you can't do something today. You can't get something now and then expect for God to bless it later. You know what I mean? Except the Lord build a house, all the laboring you do will be in vain. So number two would be test of your conviction. So it doesn't matter how much word the person has, how much, you know, they've been in the church, you know. The key is how much of that word are they applying to their life. So when you establish your core standards and your core beliefs and what have you, then you want to measure that by that. So, you know, when you don't stand for something you and I both know, you'll fall for anything. Number three would be test of wise counsel. In other words, you know, do you have a pastor or a spiritual mentor or parents or even a best friend in your life? What are the people around you saying? This is one thing I mentioned, I believe, before when I was on with you. And I said if everybody, you have five people in your life that God has blessed you with to help you along the way, accountability and everything, and if everybody in your life is saying, something not right about this, and you're the only one that's saying, this is God, everybody can't be wrong and you be right.
Come on.
So, number four would be test of common sense. Now, if you know the person is wrong to marry, guess what? Don't do it. In other words, exercise common sense. You know, the person doesn't honor you, if the person doesn't respect you, if the person is not God's best for you, you know, don't do it. If they're an abuser, you just don't do it. Another one would be number five, I call number five would be test up high standards. If the Lord has given you a set of standards, how dare you compromise them? So I always say never, ever, ever, regardless of how fine he or she may be, lower those standards, because God knows what is best for you. And then number six would be test of scripture. And there are people that God forbid us to hook up with, and obviously unbelievers. So if you cross that line, you can't hook up with somebody and then want God to bless them when it doesn't even line up with scripture. Amen?
Come on!
And then, of course, there are people who are unmarriageable. I call those, and I have a whole list of attributes that apply to them. And some of them are people who are just, people who are separated. You can be married, separated for 10 years, but until you get those papers signed, you're still married. And then test a purpose. And this is the one I mentioned earlier. Test a purpose and assignment. And you just mentioned that. When you marry someone, you're not just marrying the individual. You're also marrying their assignment. And so, you know, you need to know what your purpose is. I always say this right here. I say that if I don't know what my purpose is, and you don't know what your purpose is, and we hook up with each other, and then let's say that we start to develop in our relationship with Christ and what have you, what if we both now come to an understanding of what it is, and they're totally two different things? So now we have two visions in one house, which equals two divisions. And so you have people who love God, but they're not walking in agreement. They're going in two separate directions. So that's why it's so critical before you hook up with somebody that you know who you are and you know what God has put you on this earth to do. So those are seven principles to discern the Lord's will and selecting a mate.
Well, I hope you ladies and gentlemen wrote that down, because I sure did. Wow. Pastor Macklin, that was phenomenal. Test of the Lord's convictions. Test of your conviction. Test of wise counsel. Test of common sense. Test of high standards. Test of scripture. And test of purpose and assignment.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
My. That is so true. And, you know, that's one of the things now that that the body of Christ is definitely, you know, it's like dealing heavily with. I talked with a lot of people, and I asked them, I said, I don't know when I'm going to use certain things, but do I have your permission to use your story? And most of my clients always say yes, but I never use names, places, and, you know, things like that, but I would just use the story. And one young lady, she married a gentleman, and 4 or 5 years in the marriage, he told her, because he had been married prior to, he said, I just need to make sure I marry a woman who can understand my assignment and just do what I tell her to do. And she said, like, she saw none of this prior to, because they only dated, you know, according to her, for 3 months. And he said, well, you know, it's God's will. Let's get married. And, you know, he's a pastor and all that kind of stuff. And they end up getting married. And she realized, we done made a mistake.
Wow.
And she was like, and I have walked into making a second mistake for you. And I was like, Whoa, how powerful is that? She told me, and she said, Prophet, I know I made a mistake. She said, I knew the day we got married, but he said it was God's will and things of that nature and all of these things, but I didn't trust what I was hearing, and I knew I should have just dated him more. And what I got out of her entire conversation, she was telling me, and you just mentioned it, because if a person is not divorced completely, they are not available. And even when they are divorced, a process has to happen. And this is how some men and women become a rebound, because that person feel like they need something that you can provide for them. But the reality is, it's not you that they need. They don't know what they need until that process have become clear unto them from the Lord, not necessarily grieving or things of that nature. But, and I ain't messing with nobody, but you don't just get divorced 1 month and then like 8 months later you're married again.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
You know, and so I mean, you know what? We have to say that so people can over spiritualize that, because when you said that about the purpose and the assignment and the common sense, I do believe some people marry the wrong people. I do believe that. I do believe they married people because of the culture, because they was, you know, they the sex, or they saw the person can just do something for them for all the wrong reasons. They married the wrong person. I just believe that, and I always have, especially as a prophet. But now, listen to you saying this, I'm like, Lord, thank you for that confirmation 14 years later. So you just helped me define why I believe what I believe and what the Lord showed me. This is not of God. You know, so
we can stop
lying on God.
Say that. And you know what? And I've spoken to so many divorced couples. I've spoken to a number of them. And I always ask that question, you know, did you know from the very beginning, was there something there that you have a sign? And most of them would come and say, yes, I knew, and people told me, but it's what I wanted. Yet prior to that, they were like, they believed it was God. And you mentioned a point that I do want to hit on. Just because the other person got a word from God, it doesn't mean that you don't get one. My late apostle Peoples used to always say, God's not going to bypass my mailbox and just go to you. So, I mean, you have your own... You have your own authentic, clear relationship with God, too. So what is God saying to you? I mean, one person's word is, I don't care what the title or position, and no dishonor to the title or position.
No, go ahead.
But I'm saying, you're a believer, too. What is God saying to you? And to be honest with you, I think you hit on something else, too. I want to hit this. When it comes down to dating, people date, and people have to spend X amount of time with someone and see all these things about someone, basically upon their five senses, you know, what kind of job they got, or are they stable, or, you know, have this, and they go through all of these things. Do I have the chemistry for them? And I'm not saying those things aren't important, but those things aren't the most important things to be focusing on. Because when you focus on those things, you totally avoid Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then allow him to direct your path. So let me tell you what the problem is. Even if you look in the book of Revelation, let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So the issue I have with dating is I don't want to say you ain't got no ear to hear, but what I'm saying is you're not hearing from God. Because if you heard from God, you would need to spend 6 months with someone. And that's just the bottom line. That's truth.
That's true. No, it's true, because people get married in that honeymoon stage. I often tell people everything good in the beginning. I mean, food is good in the beginning, but if you eat it for 31 days, you're probably going to be tired of it. And I tell people, I have a thing, and oh, my God, it's so refreshing talking to a life coach like yourself, because I often tell people, you know, you don't know a person until you've gone through their four seasons with them. If a year has four seasons, so do people. Mm-hmm. Everybody have four seasons, and we need to know their four seasons, because the reality is that first year, we can fake it for 366 days. A person can fake it. They really can. They can be the best actor ever. They can fake it. But until you go to their four seasons, like any year, and their year may be longer than 365 days, you don't know this person. And you may not have to know everything about them to wed them. Now, I will admit, because what I just said, and I'm going to stand by that, some people just married the wrong people. That bottom line, that's just it. You married the wrong person. And so bless God, thank God that you got out of that. That's why I don't often come down on people who have got a divorce. You know, they're not going to burn in hell and all this other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They just made the wrong choice, because, you know, I beat my husband up on the playground, Pastor Ricky, when I think I was like 13. You know, so,
what?
And I, Yes, and we talked about that. I was like, oh, that was you? Oh, we was fighting. I didn't realize it was him for like 10 years in our marriage. And so, but, you know, I only dated 3 other people prior to my husband. But even at the age of 18, because of what I had gone through and what I had seen, I still had a young mind, but I was seasoned when it came to a certain kind of man. You know,
right.
I cannot sit here and say, oh, my husband was chosen by God. I cannot say that. That's why I can say some of y'all married the wrong people. But my husband, I truly believe the Lord did a work on us both after I got married, because I was not saved at all. So I had a praying grandmother. So when I married this man when I was just turned 20, I had no idea what I was doing. No idea what I was doing, you know. But when I got saved, I said, Lord, if this is of you, my prayer was, please spare this man. You know, if I'm not what you want him to have, because he is a good man. Even at 21, he was such a good man. I said, Lord, then just let me exit out this marriage. That was my prayer at 20 years old. Because I was
awesome.
Like, you know what, now that I'm saved, yeah, I ain't sure I did the right thing, Lord. And he's really a good guy. So, you know.
That's
you know,
awesome.
And I'm just being honest, speakers. I'm being honest. And let me tell you, here we are. It'll be 17 years in May, and me and this man have grown up together, and I wouldn't trade him for, you know, all the chocolate and ice cream and money in the world. You know, and so.
That's awesome.
But, Pastor, it's like you said, we had to work out those 7 things. And I often try to tell sisters, both young and seasoned, because nobody ain't old, both young and seasoned, you know, don't get caught up in his look. You know, make your own money. Don't get caught up in his bank account. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in his spirituality. Love God yourself and know God for yourself. So if somebody do say something like that to you, God will speak to you first, like you just said, not bypass your mailbox and go straight to them. Because this young lady, when she said that, she said, Prophet, I know he's a pastor, and I know we shouldn't have gotten married. But what he said was, I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? You know, why did you do that? And so you got to go through the process of this divorce. And I don't care who it is. Divorce is it's a tearing away, because she really did love him. You know,
a
tearing away, you know, and it's very hurtful. What you just gave about courtship, though, like I said before, I've never heard it put like that ever.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, and you know what? You just mentioned about divorce, too. When you date somebody and you've been dating them for a non-committal type of relationship, you're kind of there, not really there, because you're still doing your own thing, and 6, 7 months, 8 months go by, and you bested your time, your energy, your emotion, and for a lot of people, money as well. And then when that relationship ends, and you have to walk away, and the person doesn't even give you a valid reason, or they sabotage the relationship. All we say is, it really is just like a divorce, but without the paperwork and the lawyer, because it's still a ripping that takes place. And you wonder why people are hurting, and wonder why people can't trust people and can't proceed forward in other relationships. And every person they meet afterwards is suspect, because when you date, it creates that type of environment. That's what happens when you date multiple people, and over again, you're jumping in and out of relationships. And that's why I say it teaches you or conditions you more for divorce than marriage, as opposed to, you know, understanding covenant. You know, so, yeah, awesome, you know. So
this
is why I do what I do. I try to – one of the main reasons why I do this on this side of the house, and I let some of y'all married people take care of the other side, is because if we can get it right on this side, we can prevent broken marriages on the other side. So, so we can sharpen your discernment on this side, and that you don't be moved by your emotions. And when you have that first conversation with a person, that you understand who you are, you know your core values. So within the first conversation and two, my friend, introduce the things that really matter. Introduce your core values. I'm not saying make them feel like they're in an interview, but I'm saying the things that really matter, introduce them into the first conversation, because the bottom line is some people really don't deserve anything beyond the first conversation. Because once you find out certain things, you already know you can eliminate certain people. So if you decide to go on, then you're going on your own volition, going on your own free will. You know what I mean? So, but I'm like, establish it. Put it out there. Let's lay it out there. I ain't got time to waste time. Been, you know, a little bit too late in life for that. Let's just establish the fact. And I'm not saying, you know, that you rush straight to the altar, because I do agree with the fourth seat. But I'm going to let at least establish the intent from the beginning. So if I meet you and your intent and your focus is not getting married within the next couple of years or so, and you're like, well, I want to get married in 6 years, then I'm sorry. If you are the one, it ain't the time, because I'm not going to put myself in a situation. So, you know, you just got to use wisdom. Use discernment and use wisdom at the very beginning.
Right. Wow. And, you know, and then I just want the listeners to know that, you know, you are single. So I know I'm going to get some mm-hmm. emails for this Uh-oh. Later, you know. Well, it's going to be good emails because I'm just, all right. you know, I'm being honest with you. And I just want to just mm-hmm. reiterate again to the ones who just logged on. I'm talking to the awesome author and pastor, Ricky Macklin. Amen. You can find him on Facebook. He's written 6 books, working on his 7th one. I call him the relationship expert. He's known, glory to God, for platforms when it comes to dating and when it comes to the courtship and how to define the two and separate them. And he is truly a great man of God. I know I'm putting you out there, Pastor, but there ain't too many out there like you. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to blow your head up. I've talked to people around the globe, and I'm not even exaggerating. Folks don't have no idea who I really talk to, and I'm being honest. There are not too many men out there who think the way you do. I know some great brothers, and they know their big sis TKD bat for them, but there's not a whole lot of men who just really give it thought and realize there are women out there who do want to be with, and I'm just going to say because I'm happily married, so I can say this, who do want to be with a man of God like you, who have taken this courtship, understand how to treat a woman like a queen, because most women in this time, you know, they are like, well, I don't want to be hurt, and all men are playing games, and I mean, the reality is God is using you as a beam of light to women to say, look, not every man out there playing games. There are some men who are serious, but now women, listen to me, because y'all know how I teach this thing. There are some men looking for you to be on the level that they are at. It took Pastor Ricky a minute to get here, but he's here, you know, and there are other men like you out there, you know, standing on your own 2 feet, established, and you're not playing games. And most women can tell you, black, white, Asian, Puerto Rican, whatever it is, there's not a lot of men out there over 30 who can say, I'm serious about my own life, so you need to be serious about yours. And so that's just the reality of it. So what I'm doing right now, we're going to take – oh, go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, I was going to say, and the point I have with that is the most critical step to finding Mr. and Mrs. Right, as I always say, is to become Mr. and Mrs. Right. You know, because the right person is not going to be attracted to you because of what you need. They're going to be attracted to you because of who you are.
Lord Jesus. Okay. One more time. Go ahead. Come on. One more time. Say that.
let me say it again. The most critical step to finding Mr. and Mrs. Right is to become Mr. and Mrs. Right. The right person is not going to be attracted to you or want to be with you because of what you need. They're going to be attracted and want you because of who you are. That's why it's critical that first you know who you are and whose you are. You have to understand Psalms 139 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I always tell people, I don't care if you ain't got the 2 nickels to shake together in your pocket. You're still worth millions on the inside. God makes no mistake. You are his original masterpiece.
Yes. Woo! All right, Pastor, I'm going to have to let out the fire because I know these women are ready to ask you a question or two. We're going to open the line, but I'm telling you, you are like the male version of me. Oh, my God. Because I always tell women, you know, don't be chasing man because of what he have. A real wife can see his potential and bring that billion-dollar idea out of him and help him birth it. That's wife material. It's not just, oh, buy me a Gucci bag and buy me the newest Louis Vuitton and the red bottles. No. A real wife will focus on what God called you to do and help you birth that thing into the earth. And child, please, money will be your last thing because y'all be running in the overflow.
Amen.
Oh, glory. That was so good. Okay, ladies, look, I know you're on the line. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to. If you have a question, go ahead and ask your question right now, and we're going to answer that. Amen. I'm on the line with pastor and author Ricky Macklin. So do we have any questions from our audience tonight? All of you are live, so you can go ahead and ask your question. Because, see, y'all are going to email me later, and I'm saying, well, you should have asked me when we was on air. So if you have a question, everybody's microphone is on right now, so you can go ahead and ask your question. I love my audience, but it's like, they'll, like, after tonight, I'll get, like, 50 emails. I'm like, just go ahead and ask it online. Nobody knows who you are. You know, you don't have to really say your name. Because you just gave some great points with the seven principles. And we have to talk about this in the body of Christ. I know that some some preachers and speakers try to hit this while they're preaching and speaking, but the reality is we have to have platforms and things like this so we can have great men and women and men like you to explain this. Let me just ask you this before we go on further. How do the audience reach you?
They can reach me via my, I got two websites. One is RickyMacklin.com. That's RickyMacklin.com. That's RickyMacklin.com. So that's my main ministry site. The other site that's specific to relationships is called CourtshipVSDating.com. So that's Courtship, VS as in versus, VSDating.com. And, of course, I also have a Courtship Facebook page if you want to visit that page as well. And we have some great exchange on there. Every now and then I'll introduce engaging questions so that everybody can kind of, you know, chime in there, you know, in a respectful way. And sometimes I'll just actually post a question and post an answer to that question. But at least, you know, 2-3 times throughout the day I'll also give wonderful tips that I believe can be a blessing to you, whether you're in a relationship or contemplating one or, you know, on the verge of maybe getting into one. I think the tips will be a blessing to you. So check it out. Right now we have a little over 50,000 people that have liked the page. So it'd be a blessing to have you come on in on there as well. So those are ways. You can also purchase the books from any one of those sites as well. I have a store tab on both those pages, so you better get to it as well.
Amen. Glory
you know, while we're waiting on, if someone going to ask a question, while we're waiting on that, I also want to introduce when we think about courtship versus dating. Up until, you know, early 1900s, dating was like an anomaly. It was not even something that people actually practiced per se. So people pretty much courted, you know. Most relationships at that point and marriages were arranged during that time period. In the early, you know, mid-1800s, what was fascinating is that the divorce rate was only 5%. Now
wow.
Watch this. Around the early 1900s, when dating finally came onto the scene, the divorce rate, of course, went up from that point, you know, and it kept going up since then. So, you know, it went to like 16% around that time period, and now we look at a divorce rate that's over 50%. So, you know, somehow or another, you know, the seriousness of a relationship has to be restored. And I think another point that I just want to mention is that we have to understand that marriage is God's idea. So this is not some simple thing that we just jump in and jump out of. It was something that God established. In fact, what's so amazing about it is that the first institution that God created was not the church. It wasn't the fivefold ministry, but it was family. God brought Adam and Eve together and established the first institution on earth, which was the family. So it's a wonderful thing. And when you do it right and we marry the right people, we get to experience at least a taste of the mystery of the relationship and the marriage that Christ and his church will establish one day. So that's the wonderful thing about it.
Mm. Wow. Wow. You know, and I know most people have not even considered that less more thought about it and really understand, you know, the difference between dating and courtship. I mean, you just brought some information and points to us like never heard before. And I'll go ahead and venture to say that because I go to a lot of conferences, sit on a lot of panels, and I've never heard anyone explain it like that. So you know, as a body of Christ, we need to know those kind of things because, I mean, and I don't want to just make this sway one way towards me, I mean towards women, because there's a lot of brothers out there too who saying, you know, look, I'm not out there playing, trying to be a gigolo, trying to be, you know, do all these kind of things to hurt women. I'm looking for one who's really going to be with me and not play games and things of that nature because he's getting his life in order and things like that. And I'm telling you, there is not a brother shortage, women, and when I say brother, I'm not talking about just black. I mean brothers of all colors and ages and things like that. I just use that term, B-R-E-T-H-E-N, brother in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, because we don't want, because oftentimes when these kind of conversations are going on or take place, it kind of just sway towards one part, which is the female. But no, I'm not biased. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about the female and the male, because there are a lot of men who don't want to be with women that bring them so much drama or so much pain or, you know, be honest with you, some women get in a relationship with great men they are attracted to, you know, rob the brother of his joy, hopes, and dreams. And, you know, he's like, man, what have I got myself into? And so, you know, so the information you gave tonight, it's for both sexes. You know, just I tell people, just take your time. People, you know,
absolutely.
We have people out there saying, you know, we're getting too old or whatever. That is not true. That is not true. But when you believe that hype, you can see that hype, and that's what you start walking by. Wow.
So very true. So as you can see, my purpose is to really just try to help people get it right on this side, you know. You know,
yes.
build marriages to last. And when I think about that, I often think about my grandparents who were married for 63 years before, you know, they passed. My parents now have been married for 51 years. And it's not that
wow.
the marriage is perfect. You know, we're not going to sit here and act like every day is a bed of roses and it's perfect. But what I love about
right.
it is, what I love about it is that when something was broken in their relationships, like the old days, they fix it. They didn't throw it away and just, let me try something new. You know, we get a little new toy, new iPad, something, new iPhone 5, and then the 6 come out. We throw the 5 away just because 6 came out. Nothing wrong with it. So you know, we have to be willing to make the investment, you know, have realistic expectation. But I, from my point of view, I'm coming from the very beginning, the inception, when you first meet the person. Let's establish some things right here so you don't have to deal with the pain later on. So, you know, that's why I push this so much. And you mentioned for the men, yeah, you know, I'm very hard on the men because it's so critical that the male be in place. Because if he's not in place, it messes up everything. So there's a tremendous responsibility on him on that male to understand who he is, to understand his leadership role, to understand his covering role, to understand, you know, all of those things. It's critical that he understand that, because when he doesn't operate where he operates or where he needs to operate, then he leaves a vacuum. He abdicates his responsibility, and when he does that, she has no other choice but to assume the position, but the burden of that should never fall upon her shoulders. And so that's why it's so critical that the mailman be in place as well.
Wow. Did you say the mailman?
The mailman.
Yes,
I'm not
I
talking
love
about
that. M-A-L-E-M-A-N. Oh,
go.
My
the
God.
The mailman. Must be in position, must be in place, must be.
Yes. Wow. Okay, well, that's our time for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now, because we're going to have a show coming up called What Christian Men Want in Christian Women and What Christian Women Want in Christian Men. Well, on the show that What Christian Men Are Looking For and a Christian Woman, Pastor Macklin will be on that show. I don't even think I gave him an option. I just told him I'm going to have that show, and he's going to be on there. But I thank God for him because he did agree. And tonight, now you see why he has to be on that show. So I want you guys to tune in to that. And Pastor Macklin, if you got any last words you want to say, amen, to the listeners, because they're not saying anything, question, but they're all still logged in because I see the information. Go ahead, sir.
I always like to lead people with a few sticking points, you know, and I call them a few checkpoints, and I always say that I speak specifically to the men, and I'll say, I know it's 2015, you know, but if you cannot afford to put a roof over her head and food on her table, then we don't qualify to put a ring on her finger. That's something my dad told me a long time ago. So we must be in position and assume that position. And then I tell the lady, when you hook up with a man and you marry that man, he's not simply just marrying you right now. He's marrying your future. He's marrying who he believes you're going to be. So the first thing you should ask that man is, what's your vision? I need to know what's on your mind. Where are you going? And then for both genders, always say, until you become single, until you become whole, satisfied, complete, all by yourself, until you become happy and complete in Christ, then you don't qualify for marriage either. So you want to make sure that you get those things together. And let me end with these checkpoints. I always give these. Don't get into a rebound relationship because it won't work. Don't get into a lust relationship because it won't last. And don't get into an obsessive relationship because you probably won't live to give your testimony. So in the end, what do you do? Guard your heart and guard it with all diligence. And then listen, like I said, develop an ear to hear what God is saying. And I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but any relationship outside of Christ won't last anyway. Amen.
Woo! Okay, I am not going to be Deacon Re-Preach because I want that to simmer in. Pastor Macklin, brother, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. You truly blessed the order. audience, but you sure enough blessed me as well. And I am honored to have you back on this show. Glory to God on our broadcast, What Christian Men Want in Women. I pray that God continue to bless your life. Audience, I hope you guys took notes. We're going to have him back. Don't forget to go on his Facebook page. Amen. Ricky E. Macklin. And you're going to see all those books and all those information. I just encourage you, ladies, follow this brother. Hit that follow tab because he gives daily encouragement. And, I mean, you heard him tonight. It's straight from the heart. Woo! I love
Amen.
You with the love of the Lord. And this has been Relationship Monday. I'm just going to soak all this in, and we're just going to end it with Mr. Al Green. God bless his soul. Have a blessed night, and I'll see you again on Work the Word Thursday. It's been TKD, and you've been tuned into TKD Global Broadcast and Radio. Good night.
Loving you
Relationship. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.
Want to switch to T-Mobile, but you're locked up paying off a phone? T-Mobile can...